Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's a Monday. I hope we are all tuned in from our, you know, cars, which we are hanging in intentionally, not because we lost our accommodations.
Why are you out here trying to, you know, throw shade on people?
Nah, not throwing shade.
Who, you know, it's almost like they have to automatically catch the shade, you know. Mm-mm. Doesn't matter where it lands with
I'm just scattering it at this point.
Whether it's in Ochivrongo or whether it's in Ludrets or whether it's in Kurunguru, the shade just hits somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, unfortunately, guys, it's a Monday. It's the 1st of September. Welcome. It's supposedly known as Spring Day, so we have to wish everyone happy Spring Day. I couldn't wish that yesterday because we were still in August, guys. Just chill out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So, it's springtime.
Yeah, with this odd humid situation.
Yeah, you know, after watching, I think I've watched one too many musicals coming out of, coming out of the Western, entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing them talking about things like spring break and things like that. And I'm going there going like, what the heck does that mean?
Spring break is, you do know that in North America and in Europe and in Asia, the children there get like a 2 month holiday for spring and summer.
Huh?
Yes.
Awesome.
Two month holiday period, because in August, September, they start school again. Obviously we've got one colleague, you know, who studied there in the US. He would know what we're talking about, but that's how their educational calendar flows from August to March or April the next year. So when it's spring break for them, spring break is an American term, by the way. So if it's spring break for them, it's in North America. In Europe, they get a 2 month at most holiday. Literally, your employer says, Helmut, go home.
Yeah.
Your employer tells you, Helmut,
yeah, go home.
Go home. Go on holiday for 2 months. I don't want to see you.
Yeah. I hope our employers are listening. One of these days.
You think France will say yes to something like that? France will even tell us you will only get 5 days.
Not France. No, I'm not worried about France or HD.
It's France.
Look
at us here outing our bosses here live on
air. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about that. When it comes to any of our bosses, I think, the only thing I'm worried about them, punishing, like a form of punishment is calling me an idiot. That's pretty much it. I've heard that one 1,000 times.
You say the savagery in that remark is a bit much.
I've gotten used to it. I know that the person that likes it is listening. Right, now back to
home. You were really avoiding. But anyway, back to home run. Welcoming you once again, dear listeners. 1st of September, brand spanking new home run as we head into the month of September. Helmut and I also have to work on another surprise for you guys, you know, to make us sound hip and more. What was that question you asked me, Helmut, earlier today? Do we really have to? And I said, yes, we have to sound hip and in the times, you know. So yeah, we're working on another particular special or another particular sort of like surprise for you guys.
Yeah.
Just so that you know.
So, this is, okay, our topic for today has to do with the, our topic for today has to do with lottery. And more like, this is not this is something that is regulated and run in a way that it benefits the country economically. And this is, I've had you, Dwight, point out that the lottery or the gambling industry somewhat is more often a peripheral, or more like it runs concurrent with the tourism industry.
Yeah.
And I never actually thought of it that way, but after you pointed it out, That's when, you know, every movie that I've basically watched that, you know, that had a scene that was shot in Vegas made me go, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because that's like, I mean, isn't it like the gambling capital of the planet? And it's also one of their biggest tourist attractions. People go there to see a lot of, you know, to see a lot of things that are positioned on the outside. And this is, you know, more like whether it's something that has to do with the, whether it's something that has to do with historical figures,
yeah,
or something that has to do with just you know, miniaturized everything. They've miniaturized the Eiffel Tower, miniaturized this and all that, so that they can just, you know, visit it without leaving the US. And that makes a lot of sense.
But you have to understand, if we look at lotteries, the lottery and what you explained, what you described just now, was literally Las Vegas, which is a commercial hub. Just for gambling.
Gambling, yeah.
Now, dear listeners, if you guys have seen our post on our social media, it is based upon the phrase used is gaming. As Helmut also outlined, it is literally tourism and gaming together. This builds off of the Friday discussion that we had in terms of whether or not we have, you know, can we literally leverage the unpolished jewel, like the governor of Ocho Chupa loves to say, because he loves calling it rough, uncut. He likes using these adjectives.
Yeah, that was with the tourism discussion.
Yeah,
cultural tourism. Yeah.
He likes using those adjectives, you know, those descriptive terms, rough, uncut, jewel, gem, you know, those things particularly. And he's right.
Verbosity. Okay, yeah, he's right.
You had to slide that in there.
I know.
He's right. We're sitting in that conversation we had on Friday. We are sitting with such a particular, untapped potential. You can partner that literally up, or you can literally pair it with the youth unemployment scenarios. Obviously, you just need a little bit of training, a little bit more sprucing up of the facades of each of the urban areas, and a little bit more investment in terms of, like, it's limited infrastructure, but infrastructure that helps the activity. When you come to the gaming industry, now remember, this stands in NDB6 like this: tourism and gaming. Now, I had to go scratch, Helmut, a little bit, very, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just to cover all bases, because the previous minister, or the former minister of environment, that being Minister Boamba Shifeta, back in 2023, he, and it's around the aspect in terms of, he had to, you know, the discussions around the Lotteries Commission once again came up. And this is in the same breath, I think, because from 2023, it flowed into 2024 last year, where you and I, we did the discussion about lotteries the first time. But the thing that I forgot to look at was literally that there are actually two acts. We just looked at one act. So just in terms of an update, in terms of that scenario, listeners, you get the act that governs lotteries and they call it sport pool or something like that, is the Lotteries Act. The act that governs gambling, which includes shebeens and bars, is the Gambling Act. Now, the Gambling Act and the Lotteries Act, both came into effect in 2021. They were gazetted in 20, because they're dated 2017 and 2018 respectively. But they both came into effect in 2021. So, setting the scene like that, dear listeners, the scenario has been, Helmut, that in the NDP6, I just have to get that particular statement. In the NDP6 that came out obviously a month and a half in the opposite direction from what we're watching, or where we're heading off to, they state that the ambition is for Namibia to capitalize from gaming, from the stated revenue that was created in 2024, 32 million, and boost that up or build that up to a 76 million frame. But then, here's the thing, Hamoud. NDP6 just broadly makes mention of gaming. It doesn't state whether it's lotteries. It doesn't state whether or not it is
whether it's
gambling,
it be like a separate industry on its own,
yeah,
something,
or whether it's gambling. Hence, also, dear listeners, if you saw our description for today on our poster, We make reference there of video gamers. It sounds like any video gamer out there would go like, woohoo, I'm going to be incentivized for my pastime activity, for me just bumming out on my couch or in my room in front of the PC. No, it is not for you video gamers. It is not for the casual entertainment gaming.
And that's, I have to admit, that's what I thought in the beginning. I'm like,
that's
oh
also what I
God,
thought. I was also going like, now they're talking my language. Maybe we'll have an esports tournament.
Uh-huh.
And then I go read, you're talking about gambling? You're talking about lotteries?
Wasn't that about a month or two ago when I remember jokingly saying to you that I'm not participating in this, PUBG tournament that's being held. And then you said, no, that's a mobile one. I play the computer one.
The computer one, The downside is, Hamoud, even in that scenario.
Wait, that was privately held, right?
Yeah, it's organized by the company that owns the product, the entertainment product.
Yeah.
For example, most of the esports tournaments in the world, which was the largest one, Uga? The largest one at one stage was the Fortnite tournament, but it's the Fortnite Counter-Strike. There's even a Tekken, there's even a Street Fighter competition, there's even a FIFA competition. Here in Namibia, there's a local electronic sports association, NAM Esports, or Namibia Esports, I think, is the association. I used to go and watch some of the particular engagements they would have. They would have qualifying rounds. The only guys they predominantly send or that participate most of the times in terms of that representation for Namibia are the guys that play they are console players. So they play Tekken, they play FIFA. What's the other? There's another one that they also play. It's Tekken, FIFA, and Mortal Kombat, I think. So in that scenario, the statement here in NDB6, if you're a teenager and you're thinking, wow, I can quickly make a particular impact in terms of showing off my reflex skills, in terms of paying attention to computer code and stuff like that, it's not for you, my guy. This particular subject matter is something completely different. Even though the speech that Minister Shifeta gave in 2023,
tempting,
where he gives a definition in both aspects of both acts. He cites specifically where it's a piece of entertainment or if it's a piece of a digitalized product in that scenario, which a computer game or console game, they fall in both categories as well. They literally fall in both categories. The downside here is the video game industry is clearly defined around the world as an entertainment aspect, even though the EU has challenged many of the video game companies by telling them they have, I don't know if you've heard of the loot boxes court cases against Electronic Arts, the guys of FIFA, and against the other guys Electronic Arts for Battlefield, where they brought in the pay to win functions. The game has defined it as pay to win, meaning if you want to overcome the stage of the game, you have to spend money to overcome.
Yeah.
So technically, the European courts define, consumer courts define this as, but that is gambling.
Yeah, it's basically, and if you can see, the game that I play.
Yeah. You are Call of Duty.
When you are buying, whether you are buying a new skin, first of all, you have to convert your money.
Yeah.
Into the currency that's it's a whole world on its own.
Yeah.
Now, that's when you can buy this new skins, but the thing is, it doesn't come for the most part, does not come like an individual's. Take for example, it's not like a shop that you have to walk in and buy this.
Yeah.
So you have to take for example, if you want to buy a new gun that comes up or a new skin, it's going to come with extra things like a melee on the side or a backpack or a flight suit, not a flight suit, a parachute.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Battle Royale version mostly. Now, the thing is, Every time, now, every time that you clear, you know, it's basically something that, it's more of a gambling thing, because when you click on, when you click on where you would, be like you'd be buying one, you know, it will sort of like rotate in a way that you see a jackpot, for example.
Mm.
Now, where it's going to stop, that's, you know, that's the one that you're, you know, that's the one that you're getting.
Yeah.
So in other words, even if you wanted to get the gun only or the skin only,
yeah.
You will have to play multiple rounds. And the more you play, the higher the, you know, the higher the amount you have to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, by the time, so by the time that you're, you know, you're going to move, from, you know, from Trip Mine, from Trip Mine, for example, or a melee, or a parachute backpack, to a gun, to a skin, you have spent a lot.
Yeah, you have. Now you see, who owns Call of Duty?
Activision. Yeah.
Activision Blizzard, which was bought by Microsoft. Now they're gonna bring us. You guys are gonna face another particular sort of like a headache. They're most going to bring out a new Call of Duty.
Yeah. That rank reset comes and then.
Yeah. Once again, then you guys will be migrated from this current platform where you are.
More like a.
Yeah. To the new one. Now, yeah. Here's the thing, Hamid. This is the definition that I found in the National Development Plan 6. So the outline here, and remember once again what I told you, the gaming industry is this broad term that they apply in this definition. The gaming industry generated revenue of about 32 million in 2024, 2025. Compared to the 9.3 million in 2022, 2023, and is projected to grow by 8.1% by 2030. So, additionally, about 4,100 jobs were recorded in 2020 to 2021. We obviously can cite that maybe it might have grown the jobs in that scenario, but are we talking about casinos? Are we talking about hospitality with casinos? Are we talking about shebeens and bars and the odd informal, you know, tavern? Because a shebeen might be more formal, which is technically a tavern in Southern African context, because it's a South African word, the word shebeen. But the word tavern is more, tavern and bar is more, tavern can be an informal scenario, because a shebeen can be formal. A bar is the other formal aspect.
Okay. Fly me on a plane here. There is a difference between bar, tavern, and what's that other one? I give a salon.
Saloon. Saloon was in the, was just in America, bro.
Salon is the one that hairdresser.
Yeah, you send your wife to with your hard earned money.
Yeah. $300 per nail. I have no idea.
You are lying. Per nail. You are for nail, bro. Yeah, Helmut. You,
no, that's, you know.
I think I'm gonna stay a bachelor forever, because $300.
Yeah.
You should have heard the nightmare stories.
That's there's this place that, this place I know that's, I didn't go there to get my nails done. You know,
but anyway, that part of the service industry.
Yeah.
Also is situated in the tourism industry.
Yeah. Like the cosmetic beauty type of
Yeah,
thing,
because in many cases you find like the beauty salons, spas, in certain areas, there is a service provision associated to casinos, hotels, resorts, those kinds of institutions, because they know there's going to be high traffic, high feet coming through to those particular establishments. So you have a well-rounded service offering as an institution. And then the person can go play golf that side, you know, the other one can develop a sort of like an addiction there in front of the slot machines. The other one can have a...
I was going to get to addiction later.
don't worry. The other one can enjoy a nice buffet.
South Africa is a perfect example.
Downstairs. Or you can lounge about, you know, in front of the pool and then visit the particular sort of like, what do they call that? Beauty spa treatment scenarios. I keep forgetting that word. But you can go for, wellness. You can visit the wellness facility. And all of that would be part of the particular package in terms of what you spend at this one hospitality institution. Now, obviously, the listener out there should...
You know, that sounds a little bit like a monopoly.
It does. But here's what the listener should understand.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the gaming industry in Namibia, now we've given one definition already.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you and I were slightly confused because they were use the word gaming, but gaming is a context that has been used in Namibia because the various, should I say bureaucrat or technocrat? Which one is the one that describes the government workers better? The policymakers, the guys that do the drafting and all that. I think it's bureaucrat, right?
Bureaucrats is in, like the guys that, that govern, and they're, they have all these elaborate structures of how things should be done, and they, you have to stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are bureaucrats.
Yeah, the bureaucrats. So those guys don't realize that they've got a 7 or 8 or 9 year old developing human in their own household. Who's buying a place, who they buy a PlayStation 5 for, who they bought an Xbox for, who has a smartphone and they can download mobile games on their smartphone. That is gaming. Yeah. Our definition, you and I, we clearly know what gaming is. Nowhere have you and I seen gambling is gaming. Nor have we, you and I, ever seen gambling is fun. Yes, gambling and gaming have addictive tendencies.
They do.
But gambling and gaming are clearly defined by global sectors and global sector norms as two different strands of the same thing.
Yeah.
However, in Namibia, I still need to understand the policy drafters, the guys that helped revise the 2017 and 2018 acts. Cause look, the Lotteries Act is fine. It's the 2018 Act, the one about gambling. Using the term there as gaming to equate to gambling is a complete misnomer. We can debate on this, guys. If you're a lawyer, you can come through. I will help you because outside in the world, what walks there is different from what you're describing. Helmut, even you and I know. What you do on your tablet and on your phone is different from what is defined in the act itself. So we sit with a misnomer that we think that gaming is gambling. And there's nothing wrong for Microsoft and for Xbox and for PlayStation, which is Sony, to say, okay, listen, if Namibia's act doesn't conform to us, we can switch it off.
Please don't do that.
Do you think your teenage son will love you after such an action? Well, let me not scare people out there, but the bureaucrats that came up with that
most
policy...
Most likely just going to pirate everything.
Helmut, most of the services run on internet, bruh.
I know, unfortunately.
Most of the services run on the internet. Do you think that 17-year-old will love their parents who were the bureaucrats that came up with the legislation, that came up with this... Donkey Kong of an explanation.
I don't know, but I hardly doubt most 17-year-old will even know that it was dad that made the law that put in the because they
that disconnected their PlayStation network. Well, it's about time that 17-year-old wakes up, you know.
I know.
There was a time back in the 1920s where you had 17-year-olds that had to go to war, which is the unfortunate thing. Yeah, in the First World War, they drafted 15-year-olds to 17-year-olds. Well, Hamlet, if you lose 1 million soldiers in 3 days, what do you expect?
Yeah, just don't start a war, please.
So anyway, getting back to the explainer.
Yeah.
There's a lot here for us to unpack, Hamlet, and I don't think an hour and a half is enough. But anyway, so they cite here that the establishment of the state lottery alone, which is woohoo, sounds like good news, is projected to generate over 100 million. But here's the thing. You and I, we already did this last year. We said the guarantee according to the Lottery Act is that the private sector participant that has to work with the National Lottery Commission or the National Lottery Board, they need to put down a guarantee of 100 million.
Ish.
So, so NDP6 is literally stating by 2030, the lottery introducing a state lottery would generate revenue of 100 million. Revenue for who? Revenue for the government, for the state, or revenue for everyone participating, trying to participate in what is known as humanity's legalized get rich quick scheme. But only for one winner.
Yeah.
But actually, have you known that if sometimes two people can draw the same number in South Africa?
Yeah, but how often does that happen though?
In South Africa, it happens a lot, apparently. But they split the number. Aye, they split the winnings.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so the pool grows, ne? Mm. And then two people draw the same number. Or three people have the same number. They've got to split it by three. There have been situations, even like I've observed in South Africa, where they go like, first two correct numbers of the cluster, at least wins you something. So they keep that winning mentality, you know, that dopamine feed, that constant high situation going, which speaks to addiction once again. First three.
Oh, come on.
I'll cite something that comes through from
South Africa.
From the US. But I know it's in that South African report as well.
Look, I don't see how that addiction is going to be different from alcohol and cigarettes.
Yeah, that's true. Especially if it's state sponsored.
I know. Everything is. Yeah. You gotta love humankind. I mean, self-destructive nature.
That's why I said. Ad break, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. The time is just 5 o'clock on the dot. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are here until the hour of 6, as always. So, we're going to be here. So just, take your time, fasten a seatbelt, and, don't drive like your life depends on it.
And don't worry, guys.
Actually drive like your life depends on it.
Why? Why?
Well, because your life literally depends on you driving safe.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that type of...
I agree with that. Well said.
Thanks.
How do they say in Victorian England? Here. Well said, Almut. So, the indication, obviously, from what we explained a little bit earlier in terms of that, obviously will be a get-rich-quick, a government-sponsored or government-endorsed get-rich-quick scheme scenario, but only for one winner. In South Africa, it's once a week. It seems like, it's a pretty good thing. The downside here, Helmut, is literally, they cite the...
Downsides.
Yeah, there's always... Oh, yes, downsides. They cite here, and I'm continuing on from the gambling revenue that's misquoted for being gaming industry revenue. The establishment of the state lottery alone is projected to generate the 100 million that I mentioned by 100 million revenue by 2030 and to contribute significantly to the GDP of the country. We still have to see. However, ramifications, market, mobile, gaming, and advancements in alternative reality and virtual reality technologies are key drivers of growth. What? It's the first time I went, it's one of the few times, and I still have to go through NDP6 again, but this is one of the statements, one of the sentences where I put a major question mark and I go like, what? We don't even allow PayPal in Namibia. I already pay through Steam for digital subscription to software. You pay through your phone to download that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for any cosmetics that you wish to apply. There's no way Namibia can tax Activision Blizzard for what you pay, Helmut. Only through your bank. And do you think you will pay more money? You wouldn't like that.
Yeah, no.
You wouldn't like that.
I barely pay any now.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to pay anything extra except for the banking fees between my bank and Steam's, or the company's name is Valve, and Valve's bank account. So how are they going to leverage mobile gaming and advancements in AR, augmented reality and virtual reality technology. Do they know that augmented virtual reality technologies cause psychological issues?
No, just one thing though. I think when it comes to that, the biggest problem will be, how many consumers out there
has money for this?
Not just that, if you look at the gaming industry, for example, just gaming in a sense of whether it's a mobile gaming, a PC gaming, or just, dedicated devices.
This industry,
thanks to the advancement of technology, has been booming to the point where it's competing. I think didn't it overtake the whole movie industry? Was that last year?
Yeah.
In terms of revenue.
Yeah.
So
even though they are the biggest, what they call it, they've got the biggest retrenchments going on the gaming industry.
Yeah.
Since 2023.
Those guys, Ultron was right. The biggest threat to mankind is mankind. The biggest threat to software engineers is software engineers.
Yeah, it's not AI.
It's not AI. No, they software engineered themselves out of their jobs. So, yeah. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah.
Way to get educated. Now when you look at it, I think if you can just look at it more like a try to figure out a way to make revenue out of not just revenue. Obviously, if you look at it in terms of take for example hosting tournaments, for example, the winner gets this in the very same way that we organize physical games like soccer, netball, for example. Mm. I think that has a little bit of a better market, because first of all, there's already a consumer base out there. Mm. Take augmented reality and VR, virtual reality, for example.
Mm.
How much are virtual, is it goggles?
There should be 10,000 one. And there are various ones. There's the Google one.
Yeah.
There's the Microsoft one. There's the Meta one. Oculus. They wanted to scrap Oculus like a year and a half ago, supposedly because Oculus wasn't making enough money for Meta. There's a whole, Steam itself has one. I know Xbox is Microsoft, so I can count that as the same one. I don't know if PlayStation brought out one.
Now, look, you and I know that the success of a game is going to depend on how many people are playing it.
Yes.
A lot of games have been cancelled because there are not many enough gamers playing
in
it.
In many cases, it's sales numbers.
It's sales numbers.
Or they need player numbers. If it's a free to play game.
The whole gaming industry, you totally understand why why the population of people that are participating in the industry keeps increasing, and along with that, the company's revenues.
Mm.
Is that, they came up with a very creative way of monetizing the gaming industry, which I think is, whoever came up with that, monetization method was genius. They could have just made it, pay to play, like for everything, pay to create an account, but they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So they just decided to more like, open the door.
No, but that's how it started.
You had to buy the CD.
But that was pay to play.
Yeah, you had to buy the CD.
Exactly. Yeah. But then they realized it costs as much money to print the CD,
mm-hmm.
to package the CD, to ship
the CD.
And it was adding on extra costs because people were going like, why must I pay? Later on, it came to such a level.
Affordability issue.
Yeah, to such a level where that South African company, the two South African companies that were here in Namibia, Musica and BT Games, they were selling people, access codes for $1,000.
Oh.
And I stood there because I knew one of the guys that worked at one of these companies. I asked him, you're asking me $1,000 for a code. So what's stopping me from taking out my bank card, sitting at home and chugging in and doing a digital purchase, like that. And at that stage, it's probably half the price that you're charging me, because you're charging me for you standing here, salary, wages, lights and electricity, the rent in this mall that you guys have to reach, as well as also probably your internet. An access code. $1,000, Helmut. For an access code.
The monetization method of of gaming as it is today, at least for the most for most if not all the games that I which I play, most of which are combat and racing.
Yeah.
Is that you can just go on this platform, create your account, and then you have an arsenal of free to play weapons that you can use. Now, if you want to add on some extra, that
is going
to
cost.
That's what's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Here is the psychological genius of that method. Any gamer wants to win like all the time.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I will get sniped today and get sniped tomorrow, and the next day I'm buying a brand new gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you see what is the issue with Activision Blizzard?
Yeah.
Which many people around the world have complained about.
Yeah.
Is that they're forcing you to buy something better.
Exactly.
Because the free-to-play things was somewhat...
The recoil is...
was somewhat dumbed down, or it wasn't too accurate.
Which is why I
say... Or your reaction speed was just too slow, or your aim down sights was like, you couldn't aim. You were inconvenienced by this thing. If you aim down your sight, you're like wondering, what is this thing I'm looking at?
Yeah.
And then you can't see the guy that you're shooting at.
Yeah.
That's what Activision Blizzard did.
Yeah, now that... I mean, which is why I'm saying that was a little bit diabolical, but I mean, it was a genius marketing strategy, because they're basically playing on the fact that you have this edge to win, and you are willing to do anything, including spending money. Now you're already inside. Now if they asked you to start paying that money from the get go, like creating an account, how many people would have paid that? A lot of them would have gone, But now
ask yourself this.
Yeah.
How is that factoring into this NDP6 statement that I just read to you?
Because now you're paying.
How is Activision Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, also known as Microsoft, going to contribute money to Namibia? Through you and 5,000 other Namibians playing Call of Duty on their mobile devices. Because Call of Duty is free to download in Namibia.
Yeah, it is.
Through your Android platform. But how is Namibia going to make money from that?
You know, that's the question I kept asking myself. And then it has sent me down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And this is the rabbit hole. Earlier on we talked about the future of work and how AI is sort of like taking over a lot of blue and white collar jobs, to the point where even both the people that are involved in the building these large language models and governments can't help but sit and start thinking, okay, if every job is taken over by AI, how are we going to maintain order? Because at the end of the day, every governance, the goal it has in mind is to maintain order of its country.
Yeah.
Because you can only protect your people, if you have order. If you have chaos, that's going to be difficult to tell a friend from a foe.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at it from that, you begin to start asking questions like, how is my government benefiting from me buying all the types of fancy skins that I'm buying for my video games?
They're not.
That's one. Now, then you take that train of thought and bring it to the implementation of AI.
Mm.
The headquarter is somewhere in Silicon Valley.
Mm.
The company is somewhere in New York or Michigan, wherever it is located.
Mm.
The servers and everything is there. It's just the services that are extended to here.
Yeah.
How much control do you have, like in terms, how much control do you have here? Not just technologically, well, we're not that advanced with our internet was, mocked for being one of the slowest on the continent earlier this year. And, now.
And also the price of our internet.
Insanely high.
Well, I did most of that exercise, and then one guy wanted to argue with me, debate with me, literally, last year.
It's insane. Now, my question is, if we are having trouble monetizing from things like streaming platforms and video games today, how are we going to, monetize, from the implementation of AI? Mm-hmm. Because you can bet, we don't have the manufacturing ability of, of all these, large language models. We're not participating them in more ways, except maybe for the most part during, when we are using these, when we are using these tools, mm-hmm. we are participating in training them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we are actually feeding them.
We basically are feeding them. So, now that's the question. Now I can't stop asking myself that, if we can't, sit around the table and come up with a solution of how we, with a method of how we are going to monetize from, gaming platforms and streaming platforms, how are we going to monetize on large scale technological innovations like AI?
Mm.
Now, yeah, because if you look at where everything is managed, where everything is run, it's nowhere near us.
Yeah, it's nowhere near us. It's probably even bounced to South Africa, but then it's not even contained in South Africa because of South Africa's questionable electricity supply. Many investors still have, what they call that word, doubt.
YouSave prices on groceries are still the best in town. 4 kilos of Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 84 grams of Robertson's chicken spice, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr soup of all variants, just 5.99 Namibian dollars each. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Wright brand sunflower oil, just 68.99 Namibian dollars. And 2 kilogram bag of Pasta King elbow pasta, just 44.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at YouSave.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintuk Original, or Vintuk Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sixteen past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. So, for me, my biggest fear is maybe it's because of the field of study and line of work that I'm in.
Mm.
My biggest fear for me is is sovereignty. Because if you have AI running 90% of your country, and everything is being run from servers halfway across the planet, how much of your people's information do you control? Because information is very important.
Yeah.
Information is has always been very lucrative.
Yeah.
Which is why we are given example by the good book. I mean, Lord and Savior was like, was used as a startup capital by some guy who decided to take his own life. Now, I know.
At least they had, Helmut, at least they could work in a world where 90% of the population was uneducated. Someone had to think for them. Here, most of us went to school. No, don't worry, I'm not going to be throwing mud. It's just that the bus is literally hitting me on the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Since last night when I went and read up, and obviously when we did our research, earlier this morning, in terms of planning for today's program. And the bus just keeps hitting me. It's like a recurring nightmare. The same bus just hits you every time because you sit with the same wall. Who wrote the sentence in NDB6? Do you know what? Dear listeners, let me state this, dear listeners. Go look at
where... Someone is dialing right now.
No, let them dial. Let them dial.
Make I explain.
Because here's the thing. Yeah. I watch TV. I consume things for educational purposes.
Yeah.
Because I see, is this verified? Does it, you do the same thing, Helmut? Because we watch a lot of documentaries and stuff. That's obviously our shared, interests.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things I watch from the South African markets into the Namibian market and what can be applied. Can anyone tell me where have they seen an augmented reality billboard in Namibia? I'll wait for it. Don't worry. I'll wait for it. Meaning never.
That's the second question you should be asking. The first one is, how many of us understand what augmented reality is?
Do you know what an augmented reality is, dear listeners?
I mean, the first time I heard that word, I thought it has everything to do with arguments. It turns out, no, it doesn't. And,
that's a good thing you mentioned. So that people don't confuse augmented with argument.
I thought.
The downside is, if you ask yourself the question, how much does an augmented reality billboard cost? The basic cost. Uh-huh. My AI here on my phone, because obviously I'm using Google search, indicates here an average price of between 50,000 US.
Average?
Average to 200,000 US. Although there is a literature resource way above it, which actually gives me a direct cost projection of between 30,000 US to 75,000 US. That's just to put the thing there. We don't even know for how long the thing has to run. Because remember, in advertising, if you put a message on a billboard, it is a campaign. A campaign speaks about the message is going to be there for approximately 2 months, 3 months, maybe at most 6 months. That's long term. That's long message. That's a long message, advertising campaign message. Now, $30,000 US, Helmut, to develop the thing is 600,000 Namibian dollars. To develop the message. The 75 grand is 1.5 million to develop the message.
What are you marketing? What are you marketing?
Have you not seen what happens in Beijing?
No.
And in Shenzhen? No, and in Tokyo? Hong Kong?
Yeah, I know. The question I'm asking here is that, which is very visual and very entertaining, very pleasing to the eye.
And that's what the advertising market is. The advertising market is about capturing a consumer's imagination.
Yeah.
Instilling a call to action for something, meaning you've got a sale going, a call to action. Where in Namibia have you seen Namibian ad agencies employ augmented reality on a billboard?
I think at the top of my head, I can think of the reasons why we haven't seen that.
Of course.
It's, because take, for example, if my phone cracks or I'm tired of it and I want to take it to the regular place to sell it, that's open market on Facebook. The reason why we like just the throwing everything on marketplace is because we know that I'm selling this, this is a secondhand phone. I'm selling it for, take, for example, $500.
Yeah.
I'm not, first of all, even if I had the money, I wouldn't spend the money that is, the money that an ad agency requires to market something that's not going to make, even a fraction of the amount of money I'm going to spend on marketing. So, now looking at the amounts that you just pointed to, ranging from 600,000 to $1 million, not just every ad agency, every business will ask themselves, even if that billboard is set up, the question they will ask themselves is this worth my investment? Yeah.
Everything is
going to boil down to that one thing. Return on investment. It's a good idea. That's the reason why I think, that's for obvious reasons. That's the very same reason why I keep pointing out, high end sports cars like Lamborghinis, garages here. Really?
Look, the person can own it. Because a Lamborghini technically is an Audi.
Yeah, it's an Audi.
Yeah. The person can own it. The downside is Lamborghini, Ferrari, even Bentley, even Rolls Royce will never open up a dealership in Namibia.
Because there is no market.
Yes. No, there is a market.
But
there could be someone's
You know, someone's trust fund
someone's?
Baby, someone's trust fund baby that wishes to splurge like that. There can be someone. The downside is they will just go like, but how many of you are there?
That's where.
Per 1,000 Namibians. Per 1,000 average Namibians. I mean, if there are only 500,000 Namibians, Hamoud, that earn a salary or income. And remember what we saw from that labor force survey?
Yeah, I know.
The lowest was 1,000.
The majority?
Which is a large majority. In
which
that
is painful.
Which is painful.
Really painful.
And guess what? On Thursday, no, not on Thursday, on Wednesday, I'll be going to like a basic income grant discussion, which is a panel discussion. Obviously, I've been preparing a whole bunch of questions. But in that range itself, Helmut, you've got to ask yourself the particular question. We have to see how certain policies will be developed going forward. Because here's the thing. Lumping a bunch of sentences into a statement document. And I know our colleague Kanjengo once told me that, listen, we're not here to sort of like be or to throw mud into the face of government when they make a policy, or to ridicule them for, you know, for some policies that they develop. But you go and critically analyze sometimes. You go and read the sentence. You go think. You go sit there on a stone somewhere in the street, and you look up into the sky. You go like, I've never seen this thing. How are they going to do this? I've never seen this aspect. How are they going to capture this? I've never seen this particular development. I've only seen it on YouTube. How are we going to leverage this? How are we going to monetize something? How are we going to commercialize something? If YouTube tells you there are too few Namibians that have internet in your country, you're not worth the content creator. You're not worth the money to receive a Google AdSense. What makes you think such a technology will literally be leveraged from?
Well, we're working on it.
Look, of course we're working on it.
Yeah.
While we're playing Call of Duty and PUBG.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, most definitely. And Mario Supercard. Yes. I had to remember the Wii Sports guys, you know. But in many cases, Helmut, I can understand our discussion of Friday, the cultural and historic tourism.
Tourism, yeah.
Is a low hanging, it is a super low hanging fruit. It is so low, even a baby can, which just started walking today, can reach up, stretch their arms, their little, you know, Michelin man arms, and stretch and touch that fruit. Even though they're an underdeveloped human. However, if you start talking about virtual reality and augmented reality technologies, we are there. Namibia is always 10 years behind the whole of the world.
No,
that's why I told you this is you can already see the nightmare hitting you multiple times. The same bus keeps hitting you as you cross the street.
I think taking it more like sluggishly slow and following, and also, you know, editing, you know, South Africa's model and then working on it. And then we just start from the lottery.
Which model?
You know, start from the lottery.
Now we're jumping in the other sector.
The thing is, if you look at lottery, for example,
yeah,
there's more of that we can control. But when you look at gaming industry, for example, most of that is, we don't have a lot of control for that.
It's not just the gaming. It's the communication market as well, which is advertising. Helmut, Namibian advertising market is not South Africa. It is not even Zimbabwe. It is not even Zambia. Namibia's advertising market.
Okay, why though?
It's the kind of clientele, Helmut. We've got, how many SOEs is it that we have? 100 and something SOEs?
Yeah.
Each one of those 100 SOEs, they see the same ad agencies in Namibia. Most of those SOEs don't deal with a consumer product. Most of them deal with it. They are in a business-to-business landscape.
So there's not a lot of marketing going on?
No. There is somewhat advertising, But in a Namibian context, the advertisers think that a Facebook, a Twitter,
you know, boost your poster,
and Instagram,
yeah,
that is advert. No, that is a fallacy. That is not advertising.
Hey,
that is communication. It's basic viral communication. Hamoud,
mm-hmm.
It's basic viral communication. That thing you and I do,
mm-hmm.
we get our posters, we design the posters, we throw it on our Eagle FM applications. That is basic communication. Advertising is an industry.
Isn't advertising also communication?
Advertising is communication, but it's paid for communication.
Oh.
You must pay for the thing. And you see technology development applied to the thing. Hence the reason why that one experiment one of my former managers did, where he went and asked his brother-in-law and his brothers there in Rehoboth at a braai. He told them, he showed them a newspaper full page advert, and he showed them, how much do you think that ad page, that full page costs? He went, that his family members go like, ah. Oh. Now, this is how you test basic economics in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the cover.
Yeah, that had to be pointed out.
They look at the cover page, you know, the cover page, and they look at the price tag. Then they go like, ah, it costs $3 Namibian. That full page ad is probably what, $500? And he said, no, that thing costs 26,000. They were like, what? Do you know how much it costs in South Africa?
Uh-huh.
A full page, A3 full page, this surface area, A3.
Yeah. Basically a whole, you know, a full
between
page.
At that stage in 2011, when I got that one training from that lady from the one media buying company in South Africa, she said for some publications it was between 80,000 to 150,000 a page.
Holy cow.
That private sector companies would pay. So it wasn't even government clients yet. These were your tobacco companies in South Africa. These were your alcohol beverage companies. These were your retailers in South Africa. And those guys had campaigns running. I'm literally a connoisseur of advertising because there's a lot of art and a lot of creativity applied to the advertising sector. If you come to journalism, everyone sits there go, ugh. And you realize some of the guys don't even read much, and then you go like, ah, what creativity do you have? So when I always sit there and look on the internet and I look at creativity and I look at advertising, it's one of the reasons why I also play games, because I love creativity. You see the level of investment, Helmut, that these people applied. I mean, to hear numbers like Sony spent on that game that crashed earlier this year. I forgot, what was its name? What was that game's name? They spent $400 million for 10 years on making the thing.
That sounds like Microsoft and trying to save Nokia.
No, but that, yeah, but then they had to resell that thing was also.
Yeah, after spending how many? A lot of billions.
Of course. But here's the thing, Amut. When you look at that aspect in the commercial field of things.
Yeah.
The very first step in NDP6, which is economic growth, or private sector expansion. No, not the very first step. I think it's like number four. The very first, in that step itself, private sector expansion or the growth of the private sector in Namibia is because even the government realized when setting up NDP6, it's not the government's job to give jobs to everyone. We are supposed to be creating jobs between each other. But what jobs are you going to create, Hamoud, if you want to push people potentially into the agrarian sector, but Namibia's industrialization policy is still active since 2012, which says we've got to...
Yeah, we're still playing jump rope with that one.
Yeah, we need to get factories going. We need to generate and develop the soft industries like you and I already outlined it. We need to start making our own underwear, toch. We need to start making our own toothpicks. We should not have empty garment factories standing...
Gathering dust
in Nkurunkuru. We shouldn't have volunteer workforces who own the proceeds of production.
Hey, they don't.
They said they own the
fresh one. Oh, I think
the fresh
one, the septic tank.
Not the one in the septic tank.
Okay.
Yeah. They own the input materials and they are voluntary labor force at a tannery and a leather factory. Where in what world are we looking at these things? Where in what world, Helmut? Until we clearly define, because NDP6 tries to clearly define things, But unless we clearly say, listen, we need to let a couple of things go. Somehow we sit with a template that works. Namibia Correctional Services has it. It's just cut off.
Those guys are super independent.
Yeah, how would they make their own clothes?
Yep.
Those guys are cut off from the rest of the economy. Literally, they can teach someone to run that that garment factory that's standing there gathering dust in Ngurunkuru, which can have a lot of people relocate.
You know, I've never thought of it that way, but this way. But I'm thinking, how about we just all go to jail? I think it will be very productive.
Yeah, I'm out of hope, man.
Well, look, that's the only way we're all of us.
In
green jumpsuits.
Look,
if you look at the correctional service, it's like, now, at Divundu, there's this place, Divundu. There's a facility called DRC. And
why do they have the...
Done. Now, the thing is, this is a green scheme-ish type of project. And it basically feeds the correctional service.
Exactly.
And they produce everything.
Exactly. They'll probably even produce their own tomato sauce, their own corn syrup. The thing here is, Helmut.
And then you have those of us that are supposedly model citizens. And we are buying everything.
Do you know what?
At this point, who are the model citizens?
Do you know what the model citizens also do?
Uh-huh.
It's another Oshakati courtroom.
Oh, yes.
This time it happened to Namra. One of the standing committees of the National Assembly.
Yeah.
Went here to the border with Botswana. There was supposed to be the contractor that was contracted to Namra was supposed to put up prefabricated homes. You know, quick structures.
Yeah.
And then the contractor pulls out saying, citing, I underquoted you. The officials of Namra need
facility.
They need accommodation. There's a direct need.
Yeah.
Namra allocated funds for this particular exercise to happen.
After being quoted. Only for someone to say, on second thought, that's a little too low. How about we crank it up?
And now there's a particular dispute between the contractor, supposedly. I say supposedly, because the contractor was not on site and the building material has been lying there, exposed to the elements and the weather for a good year now. So since last year. Now you ask yourself the scenario.
Is that Namra's material or the contractor's?
The contractor obviously bought it.
Yeah.
And then they just, decided, we're walking off site.
Just wanted to buy a Land Cruiser.
So when you look at a scenario like that, that is what is happening. That is what the private sector is doing to the public sector. The public sector is giving the best example in terms of trying to be self-sufficient, like the correctional service template. I am still impressed by them. Don't worry. I am still impressed by them. Every day, Hamoud, I will cite the correctional services guys. If those guys could literally sell what they make.
Uh-huh.
To the rest of the Namibian economy. Namibia Correctional Service could potentially have been Namibia's...
their own separate economy.
They would have been Namibia's richest SOE. The government would have made more money from NCS than from MTC.
Now,
And I'm overstating that.
I'm not...
I'm literally overstating that, guys. I'm just, being dramatic. Don't worry. But the government still would have made a lot of money. It's just that
we are giving a vibe of we should all go to jail to be productive.
That is your sentence. I don't want to be there. I'm going to be as law-abiding as possible.
Me too. Believe me.
I'm going to do my best. I'm even going to go to church after that statement that you said because that is just bad luck.
Look, the template we seem to set here is that, the people that are under constant supervision and being told what to do on a daily basis, which is, because they're in confinement.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
No, because they are in confined punishment.
They are in confined punishment, not solitary confinement. Maybe there's someone who is there, but Spiritu Santo.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, those ones that are under constant supervision of what to do and when and under watchful eye of the authorities, they seem to be productive. So our biggest problem then, the vibe we're giving is, when you let us do our own things, we just become couch potatoes.
True. No, it's true. Your conclusion is...
Now, I'm not giving Joseph Shongo ideas here. All I'm saying is...
Who's Joseph Shongo? Who's that?
Joseph Shongo. Just look at him.
Oh, no. He's Nampo.
Oh, yeah, that's Nampo.
There's a deputy commissioner I know.
The thing is...
Of NCS.
Man, the advice I have in my head right now. Yo,
but yes, you don't want to give the the inspector general any ideas.
Yeah, the inspector general will be like,
to speed up arrests of people because
come to think of it.
there is a amnesty
still,
period.
Yeah, still a pen, 5 years.
There's an amnesty period from now, 1 September till end of September. So please don't give the police an idea, Helmut. Please don't.
Yeah. Well, assuming that the Inspector General of the police was not listening, don't share this podcast with him. Share it with everyone else but him. Now,
him and the Correctional Services General.
Don't do that. Now, I think, sticking to what we can control, I would go the direction of lotteries. Gaming, I don't see that. Augmented reality or, anything that's just too techy. I wouldn't. I think the thing about lotteries is that, you can participate at the comfort of your living room.
Yeah, you can.
And you can just do that with your Mobicel, Apple, Samsung. You can do that anyway.
Yeah.
And also, not just legislative wise, but also operational wise. It's locally operated.
Yeah.
But if you are going to deal with things like, augmented reality and the gaming industry, for example, that's a lot of outside intellectual property that you're dealing with.
Yes, it is.
And
that also is the biggest vacuum of investment that takes place. I mean, the AI sector itself has now been proven is just one money spender. It sucks so much money in.
Not just money. Energy.
Which costs money, Helmut?
Mostly cooling. Data centers requires a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Like a whole lot.
Like you and
I. Enough to power a city type of energy.
Yeah. Exactly like we went through the particular IEA report about the data centers and energy usage. The aspect here is when it comes to lotteries, you are right.
Now we're talking.
You are right. Yeah. When it comes to lotteries, you are right. When it comes to involving technologies through that VR, virtual reality, augmented reality situation,
I wouldn't put my money.
I am still. There's a huge question mark on that statement. When you get to lottery scenario, direct, obviously you can generate as much public buy-in. First thing, you need public participation and buy-in. The government will get it they will get it regardless. If you can tell people there's the opportunity to work through a targeted advertising campaign that says you stand a chance of winning 100 million Namibian dollars, every Namibian will at least spend 15 Namibian dollars. The downside is research has proven where you've got state lotteries or private lotteries running, the poor in your society will spend disproportionately, meaning that 20 bucks that they had on them, which was meant probably for
fat cakes here,
a top score there,
to a lottery,
a liter of milk here, a coffee or cab money or something essential that keeps them going.
The needs,
the basic needs in their scenario, is now spent on lottery tickets.
No, no, boy, do I have an example for you. Anyone that have lived in Tura long enough have heard of stories of fully grown men and women. There's a lot of gender equality going on there. Of people blowing up their money, like salary blown up, just gone. And then faking up a story to go and tell the madam or the ogre at home as to what happened to them.
Yeah, I was told last week. Last year, the one person I know blasted 500 bucks. Those guys that gamble on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Blasted 500 bucks there.
Huh?
Yes!
Okay.
Yes! And if you don't know, those guys are technically street scammers.
Well, they're, informal.
Yeah, it's an informal situation.
Let's formalize them. At this point, I'm ready to formalize anything. But when it comes to the lottery discussion, which is why I think, if you look at a lottery, the South Africans are more like, we have a lot of African countries to look at as a template of, what to do and what not to do and what to expect. Because, everything is going to come with pros and cons.
Yeah.
And the gambling industry, just lottery, like you just put it earlier, gambling is just as addictive as, it's just as addictive as gaming. And it's just as addictive. And by the way, there are a lot of things that are addictive. We just don't classify them under addiction.
Mm.
We like to call it I'm craving for. It's a thin line, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Now one of the interesting article you shared, is one about South Africa's this is how much South Africa spent, I think was that, 2024, because the financial year was concluded, financial year began in March.
Mm.
$1.1 trillion on gambling. Trillion rent. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it in Namibian dollars, which can easily be confused.
Namibians would have gone like, whoa.
No, 1.1 trillion rents. Now, that's an interesting article because they just walk through the economic impact.
Yeah.
Of South Africa's gambling industry. And some of the social economic issues that's causing.
Mm.
And it's not rocket science to basically, there's one gentleman that was interviewed, I think by, SABC.
Mm.
And one thing that he pointed out was that, the thing is, one of the the negative, which is expected in pretty much everything addictive, is that the more people are getting addicted to gambling, the more that is putting a strain on the Ministry of Health because it becomes a burden for the Ministry of Health. Now they have
expand a little bit. Ministry of Health.
Because
I want you to get to the real conclusion of that statement.
Well, there's one addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we are dealing with. That's a massive psychological part.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at it, it also contributes, take for example, if a breadwinner is struggling with gambling addiction, that family, you are back to the malnutrition discussion.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, the burden you have here is, it's a conundrum.
Mm.
Now, do you implement it and then put in some type of mitigation strategies of how to handle something when the problem, social problems, because it's going to have a lot of negative societal impacts.
Mm.
Now, how do you mitigate that in a way that it does not, make you rethink having to, having opened the industry in the first place? Now, that's on the negative side. That's negative one. Negative two is the example that you gave the other day about someone that won $1 million or I think a million rents or more in South Africa, and then the whole village now was plotting to.
I didn't believe my sister when she told me that story, and she said literally,
the it's such a bad scenario, Hamoud.
Yeah, you have to put the authorities in. I think you know, it's safe to say that you have to train the authorities in how to handle situations like that.
Yeah.
And of course, anonymity is going to be a significant part of it.
Yeah.
But also a part of anonymity is that every time scamming becomes a big issue, like he did, I think for at some point last year. The way that I kept looking at it, because a lot of people, including my friends that I spoke to on the subject, kept saying, I know that's the bank's problem. I'm like, well, for one, you can't prove that. It could be the bank's security flaw. It could be the bank's, it could be the client's security flaw.
In most cases, it's the client.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the client answered a phone call, the client shared information somewhere, the client forgot a phone somewhere, the client was attacked at an ATM. It's most
the client forgot their bag with all their money, private information and it was used against them. There are a lot of loopholes you have to anticipate and figure out that when they arise, how do you close them up?
Yeah.
Take, for example, someone wins a lottery. And this is over $1 million. And now, their name has somewhat found itself all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does any division of any of our security classes trained to handle that situation? So, that's one of those things to factor in. And, backstabbing is a big thing. Now, the thing is, another big problem that we have here is that if you look at the one research that was, actually it's an established, it's a well documented research at this point, that, about, a lot of people that earn, that win from lotteries about, I think less than $10 million are most likely to go super broke in less than 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, all this again, you want to give someone the rights to, to basically have their private space with their private property, which is what their, which is what that money is.
Mm.
And, the financial education is needed heavily. Now.
Not really. Here's the concerning part, Hamoud. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, to that one.
To that person. That person now wins $100 million.
Yeah.
And that person decides to go back to their village or their homestead. We can pick any area. Doesn't matter where it is. It can even be here in the south of Namibia or in the west or the east. That person goes there now and that person decides to tar the road from the gravel road to the village. That person decides to buy...
To interlock the cattle post.
That too. They decide to buy a Bentley or a Mercedes, a Mercedes Benz for each of their brothers and their sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're just splurging money. They decide to fly super first class.
Yeah.
With not, I almost said Ethiopian Airways. What's the other company's name? The Dubai one. With Emirates. They decide to fly in the super luxury class to work or live in first star hotels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that you can find on the internet. People have done studies on why do lottery winners go broke within 5 years, you said. Some cases, Hamoud, it's even within 10. The person wins something like 50 million euros. They go completely broke. In many cases is that they forgot to pay the tax.
And they're gonna get the heck out of. Wait. How do you forget to pay tax?
I don't know. In the American and in the European context.
Or where you have to file it yourself.
You have to file it yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas in South Africa, I read up, the tax gets deducted. So that
makes more sense.
So the South African Lottery Authority withholds a portion of the money to pay the tax on your behalf.
Yeah.
As long as you are using the money in the country. But then there was this another thing that I couldn't find in terms of it being written down, that if you were a foreigner, and let's say you won the money there and you decided now to move back to Namibia now with the money.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought of such a scheme. Yes, dear listeners. The downside would have been, do they withhold the money in South Africa? Meaning you need to keep the bank account with that money in South Africa.
Yeah.
And will you be allowed to...
That's one thing. Will you be allowed to get this money out of the country?
Yeah.
And
one of the safety nets that they put up, and I call it a safety net in a South African context because they say only South Africans can participate in their state lottery. So you've got to prove ID, you know, citizenship, and you must have a South African mobile number. Now that you can get dubiously on the internet. I tried. I almost got one, but I had to pay. I didn't want to. And the other,
and the other
downside would have been, South African identity number. Yeah. And then you can purchase, you can open up an account digitally in that scenario. The downside would have been the aspect of whether or not, you know, everything would work and whether it would be legit and so forth. Our biggest issue in a Namibian context is, this is an unknown thing. Namibia has been talking about a state lottery for more than 10 years. You can clearly see it's something we don't know, Helmut. It has the potential to generate revenue for the Namibian government, for the state. It can generate revenue. And it can uplift many Namibians. The downside is I've now got to give you sort of like feedback to our Eagle FM listeners in terms of what is currently going on. So I made contact with the Lotteries Board office earlier this morning, you know, in terms of preparation. And I asked them, do you guys have a website? No, we don't. I asked them, do you have a WhatsApp media group whereby you are disseminating information to the media?
Yeah, if we want to keep up with what's going on.
With developments from your office?
Yeah.
No, we don't. And then I asked, so where do you share or disseminate information about developments?
Assuming you have any.
Because remember the things that I shared with you?
Yeah.
Came through from Ghana and from a Kenyan platform.
The National Lotteries Commission came from Ghana?
No. The internet links that I sent you.
Yeah.
So our Lotteries Board Commissioner and the CEO has met with the Botswana Lotteries Authority end of July. Only one media house in Namibia actually had a short media or internet post about that visit. And it was an MOU that he went and signed with the Botswana authorities, with his counterparts in Botswana. Earlier this year, he went to Ghana for a fact-finding mission in terms of how the Ghanaian Lotteries Authority conducts a state lottery. The best known example, because we share the same currency value, would have obviously you just drive over the border across the Orange River.
South Africa.
Right there. And you go look at what they do.
Just had to fly to Ghana for that?
Come on. It's not rocket science. Why do we as Namibians go and look at countries which we don't have a shared, what you call it? Even a common economic interest with.
Someone just wanted to.
We decide to go visit Angola for best practice in terms of oil and gas. What?
Yeah, they've been in the industry for a very long time. At least that's
because their corruption levels have been how big around their state oil company?
Well, that's not corruption. It's more of a Kashirulanka that was going on.
In Angola.
They had a Sri Lanka then.
Yeah, they did have a Sri Lanka, but it was Angola. It was Angolized.
They must have their own version of Sangkwasa.
Yeah, you really went Sangkwasalization, eh? You must leave. You should leave Sangkwasa alone.
I know. No. Like, look, you and I did not have to travel to South Africa to find out that, they are looking, they are somewhat, getting, you know, they are beginning to face some of the realities of the negative consequences of having this industry.
Yeah.
And before you start pointing into the lottery industry and basically start firing shots in that direction, every industry has these problems. Every time that we talk about AI, what do we talk about as the negative drawback of the adoption of AI? Unemployment.
Yep.
Yeah. So, the advantages is going to run industries super fast, especially the more advanced the industries are becoming. It's like we looked at it from the energy security, global energy security that took place in London. energy infrastructure, energy generating infrastructures are becoming complex. So AI is going to become is going to become very handy in terms of of executing millions of tasks in a split second. Mm. So that's the positive part. The negative part is that you are talking about lumping a lot of a lot of jobs that's occupied currently by a lot of blue and white collar individuals into a switch box or in a computer chip of some sort being executed by computer by computer system. That means those people are not going to have jobs. So now you are looking if you look at AI on its own, you are going to have a list of advantages and disadvantages. Now the state lottery discussion is somewhat exactly the same. Mm. It has its advantages in terms of employment creation and retaining people like Helmut with his if he can do it right with all his fingers and toes scaled up, and then he wins $1 million. Well, and he maintains his sanity, he can build an empire out of it. And also create employment in the process.
Yeah.
There was there were some monies that were questionably exported into our country that was also illegally withdrawn from what was then and still to this day known as Palapala Bank, which came here and created employment. If we can do that with the money.
Yeah, just remember Palapala Bank had four legs, ne? And it was literally a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm. Or so they thought. Turns out it was a vault.
Yeah.
You know, for a president, is very terrible at hiding money. Now,
for a president, who hires Namibians to work for you?
You know, that's why every time I hear South Africans on, on social media saying, Namibia, are you guys still there? Like, we barely hear from you guys. I'm like, well, if it wasn't for us, you would not have known that Palapala Farm was actually Palapala Bank. You are welcome. Now, we have a commercial break. I promise to come back serious.
When life gifts you an unexpected expense.
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan.
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past the hour of six. That brings us to the end of Home Run for today. But I think the most important part for me, if I was asked to pick which one should if we had to conduct a national vote over which one to implement and which one to basically just put on hold and more like do a thorough examination on whether or not it should be implemented between lottery and investing and trying to monetize the gaming industry, I'd go with the national lottery.
The one that you would want to see being fast-tracked.
Exactly.
No, I think that's probably what's happening because, the NDP6 puts a time frame of being active earlier than the stated revenue generation mechanism. So the government wants to see by 2030 that the
strategic plan. I love the English use.
That the state lottery has reached a level of generating 100 million in revenue for the government. Now, if it is able to generate 100 million by 2030, then it technically speaks that the lotteries board has to get things running before 2027.
But you guys have to, figure out a way to share some information on updates and what's going on there, guys, seriously.
Oh no, I'm gonna follow up on this a little bit more.
You just had to ask them. I can imagine after that, you're like, who is this guy?
No, she, when I first called the PRO of Ministry of Environment asking, are the lotteries board people on the same WhatsApp group like us? No. Do they have their own WhatsApp group? Can I send you the number? Can I send you the number, Dwight? I'm like, okay, send the number. I called, I dropped the person a WhatsApp. The person might be out of the country. What? Okay. Then we converse and then I ask, obviously, do you share? Do you have a WhatsApp
any
media group? Regarding what you guys are doing. No, we don't know. Then I asked, will you consider having a WhatsApp group so that we know about developments instead of hearing from Botswana about where you guys were in July.
Thank you.
Or hearing from Ghana where you guys have been.
Yeah, the Ghana web party is the one that sent me. Hang on a second. We're in Ghana for this?
Helmut, why? Why? In terms of keeping up to date with development specifically, we've got to hear about things that other Africans are telling us about. Oh, no, we saw your people here.
Hang on a second. There was this event that took place. Was that in Brussels where we found out from the Europe?
Yeah, the minister's event that I went to today, the Namibia-EU dialogue, partnership dialogue, where I found out from the EU WhatsApp group in Namibia that our minister of international relations was at this Africa-EU summit, which you looked at the report, you know.
Joint Vision 2030.
The Joint Vision 2030. They were together. Literally, sort of like a day, and then
you go on there. You know, you go on the EU Commission's website, and then you have
And all the information I could get from the EU side in terms
of Namibia. Namibia there, and I'm like, hang on a second. When was this
exactly?
Okay, exactly. Dwight.
Yeah.
Today is Monday.
Yeah. Today
is Monday. Now someone have to start a WhatsApp group. Thanks.
No, I asked them. Nia Helmut. No. Life cannot go on like this. Critical economic developments are happening. And I have to read in February that someone that sits literally with the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? On the same social media platforms, their same social media platform, they are promoting that the bids for the, for private sector participants, you know, the private company that has to run the state lottery on behalf of Namibia, the bid documentation is now available. Where? I didn't see a tender ad. I didn't hear anything. It's just a small little social media post saying, hey, Helmut, your grass is green. Give it some more water. Stuff like that. So yeah, dear listeners,
quick break.
Yeah. Quick break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better.
Great news. Imba just got even better. Welcome back. While we wrap stuff up with the option of, that's at least how I look at it. If we have to look at whether we should proceed with the fast tracking. AKA, you know, investing more energy in to begin with, more like, you know, what we should invest all the energy and money in between the gaming industry in terms of, you know, fast tracking towards monetization and casinos, and we already have all those things running up. But, you know, yeah, lottery, that's the word I was looking for. I would go for lottery. Because, for me, everything that is, you know, digitized, I don't have any problem against technology, but my biggest, fear, at least personally, is that, you know, if you don't control something, if someone else control it, what does that mean for your, what does that mean for your country's, sovereignty, for example? Which is why, you know, the question of, of where your money is coming from has been a significant, I mean, that's an elephant in the room in pretty much every developing country. Especially those, those that are in Africa, like Namibia. We have, the question is, where is your money coming from? It's coming from, it's back to South Africa, and then South Africa, you have, they have their own central bank, but okay, now who are the shareholders? And you have a lot of unanswered questions there. For me, when it comes to AI, basically everything that's in the digital realm, it brings up the same discussion of how much of it are we going to run, and how much of it are we going to control, and when it comes to the monetization also, how is that going to go? And if something goes south, who are we going to hold accountable and all that? Now, it's basically things like that. And because now if everything is being run from Silicon Valley, and then now you have to, something goes wrong and you have to hold someone accountable, it brings up a lot of jurisdictional, jurisdictional issues, because now you have to extradite people, and we are terrible at that. Now, with that, basically wraps it up for the day. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM. You'll have a blessed evening, and do stay tuned for the next program that's coming up. That's FNB Financial, momentos, if you play, financial inclusion. That's an interesting take. So until tomorrow for Home Run, y'all have a good one.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding,